understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the f*** up. The drive.
Shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Oh, boy. Join Sports 1140 for Live on the Boulevard. At least I hope that is. It could always be Live on the Boulevard. Every time these reads come up, I wonder. I'm pretty sure it's Live on the Boulevard. That's at tonight, 6:30, at the Stephen Young Amphitheater in the Eldorado Hills Town Center. It's a fine, fine place to
go, by the way. It's an amphitheater. It's outdoors. Maybe it is Live on the Boulevard.
It might be. It might be.
Hang around.
This free concert will feature, hey, it's Peace Frog.
Yeah.
Tribute to the Doors. That's one of my favorite band names.
I love
of all
the
time.
Doors.
For more info, I'm just talking about Peace Frog. Doors or whatever. Just Peace Frog. For more info, visit eldoradohillstowncenter.com. Guys, I need to apologize because I have at least done my part in waking up the tinfoil here in town. My dear Lord.
You got the woke contingent
the
on the text line.
The woke contingent is on fire right now.
Whenever you want to talk about conspiracy theory in the NBA, you're going to get a response.
So I'm going to read these because I believe. Now, here's what I will not do. I will not judge these people. I like a conspiracy.
Is
you judge them all day. See, what the upset ones are missing, they're like, okay, well, I'll read them, how angry they are. What they're missing is that, guys, I'm all for a good conspiracy. I really am. Like, I watched JFK. I was like, no, we can't do conspiracy.
You'll get right down in there. Yeah, you sure will.
Absolutely. I watched the whole landing on the moon thing. Trust me, I would love, I wouldn't say love nothing more. That's a bad way to put it. But if it came out that Game 6 was, in fact, a full-on, like, David Stern-directed conspiracy, I'll help lead the parade.
David Stern or Adam Silver?
Well, David Stern back in the day. This is Game 6 of 2002.
Game 6. Okay,
yes.
So I'm thinking.
You're thinking Game 5 this series.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, technically Game 6 is why it got to Game 6. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Okay. I'm talking about 2002 Game 6 with the asterisk. So, yes, every time I put Game 6 on Twitter, I mention it. I put an asterisk on there. Trust me. But.
I'm just having fun with the asterisk today. That's
all. What I'm also saying is that it is just as equal, if not a greater possibility. Was Tim Donaghy an outlier? Probably, in my mind. Doesn't mean you have to think that way. Is there some massive conspiracy behind? Now, do
you
NBA?
I think we're missing the point on this, Dave.
Which is?
We want to talk about the conspiracy theory, but what we haven't really dug deep into is what happened to Tim as a child.
I had a guy challenge me to a fight. He challenged me to a fight on the text line. That's how pissed off these people are.
We don't do fights. We do duels, like good old-fashioned
like
duels where you take your steps, you draw your pistols.
You watch too much Hamilton.
I'm not. You know what? I'm watching Roots right now. There was a really nice duel on that.
All right. So here, let's just roll through these real quick because these people
don't roll your eyes at me, Nate.
They deserve a voice. So we had the guy talking about Jose Canseco, and we thought he was. And that there's truth to that. At one point, we thought he was a nut job,
and that lasted for what, a year.
He's still a nut job.
He published his book,
yes.
And everyone's like, "Hey, this guy's nuts." And then in no time, it was like, "Dude, he's totally not nuts." It didn't take 14 years to debunk Jose Canseco.
But the problem is that he is nuts, but he is nuts and he was right about the steroids. You can be both.
That's true.
From the 925, guys, it's not like conspiracies don't happen. How is it possible for Donaghy to do what he did for years before being caught? What about steroids in baseball? Lasted for decades and hardly anyone knew, but the league did.
No, everyone knew.
Everyone knew. And the whole thing with steroids, I mean, could you call it technically a conspiracy?
No.
I think this.
If you want to say that the league conspired to look past the, because at the time all that stuff was legal, remember?
I think there was a turn the other cheek.
Right, exactly. But is that a conspiracy?
No.
Because to me, the only people that were really upset about that were the writers. You know, I mean, there were plenty of fans.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are voting on all the awards and they get their panties in a wad about it.
But we all knew, right? I mean,
there you have was to remember the times. Like, mm-hmm. This was after the strike. This was Tom Glavine with Chicks Dig the Long Ball. McGuire versus Sosa, and many people feel like that saved, that brought baseball back from the strike and got it back into public consciousness. So do I think that all these guys were taking roids and the trainers knew and in some cases were facilitating or helping and that didn't trickle upstairs? Of course it did. But does that mean that there were a bunch of dudes in suits going, we need to get these guys steroids? I don't think so.
That's a bit of a reach.
No. Not within the league.
We're missing the fact that all of sports are a form of entertainment with well-paid participants. Mm-hmm. Who cares if the reality is that hedging has been going on for eternity in some form? It actually makes for a great series. Look at the Sharks. Stanley Cup over in five games. Come on, hockey fans would have preferred seven.
I think every fan prefers seven in a playoff series, in a final series.
Sure. But
is that a conspiracy? No, that's just reality.
From the guy that
if someone can just point out to me, like, why, if all of this stuff is true, why do we ever have a sweep or a bad series? Why does that ever happen?
I mean, we've had.
You mean the rest of the playoffs?
I'm just
other
wondering,
than the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, if everything is so rigged to get enough eyes on it and to maximize the popularity of the sport, why don't we have more close games? Why do we ever have a sweep in the NBA Finals? Why is there ever a blowout in the Super Bowl? Why do those things happen?
But I'm telling you all right now, questions. It depends on who is in the finals. The fact that LeBron is in the finals, he's in Cleveland. Cleveland's never won. LeBron's been there, this is his sixth time. He's won two. Like, we want to have this conversation because of who is involved. If it were Toronto right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No.
Are you sure? Because I feel like we'd just be having a different conversation, which is why would the league let Toronto win the NBA Finals? Right? Because that you can't escape these things when it comes to the NBA, and a lot of it is because of Tim Donaghy. No, I mean, this type of stuff with basketball, these fixed games things are really similar to steroids in baseball, where no matter what happens now, the sport can be as clean as we want. This one person has poisoned
tainted
the water hole.
Yeah.
It's over now.
Yeah.
Yeah. These playoffs have sucked for the most part. Almost every
fixed.
Game has been a damn blowout,
it's
one
fixed,
way or
though.
The other.
It's
fixed. Let's see. Here's a guy who wants to punch
Fight
me
you?
Here. Yeah. From the 916, you all sound so mentally aloof to think there's no corruption in basketball. Dave, you're such lame. And you're totally wrong about the NBA actually interfering with drafts. So when somebody does something like that, I'll snark. So my reply was your, as in Y-O-U apostrophe R-E with an asterisk, because he got it wrong. And then and he said, autocorrects, lame, so conservative in your viewpoint on the NBA and their involvement with draft and the refs betting on games. You're not 10 years old watching the Kings anymore. You're not in garage doing a radio show. Wake up. To think Tim Donaghy is
wake
an outlier.
Wake up.
Wait, I'm
wake
not woke.
Up, sheeple.
To think Tim Donaghy is an outlier and anomaly is ridiculous. And next time you try to attack my intelligence by correcting my spelling, is the day to see me at 1140 Studios. I work down the street. We can hash this out in person if
Are
you want to try.
Are you kidding me?
You want to catch these
I'm
hands,
telling
Dave.
You.
Here's my thing.
You want Jack Johnson and the other guy.
I don't care who this guy is. Grow the hell up.
Man. Well, I know. Isn't it kind
up.
Of ironic?
The moment that you start threatening somebody with physical violence because you don't agree with their opinion, grow the hell up. I don't even know who this guy is.
Work right
I don't
down the street.
Care. Come down here. I would work love to verbally
right
assault
down.
You right now.
Jeez.
Stupidity has the. I have the smallest amount of patience for this.
Great. Now he's going to punch me because of what you said.
You know what?
He's going to punch
Bring it.
No, come
Bring
on.
It.
Punch Katie.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, he goes like the irony of him going after. Like, you're not 10 years old,
you're
Dave.
You're not 10 years old.
So,
Dave.
Yeah, bro, take off the tinfoil hat. You're not 10 years old anymore. I mean, don't
and
you just throw that one right back at him?
Isn't it 10-year-olds that result to fixing their problems with violence anyway?
Don't correct my speech. I work down the street.
We should try to guess. Like, do you think he works at the coin-op car wash down there?
Now he's going to punch you.
That's all right.
He's going to punch you.
Whatever.
He's going to punch me. We're
I mean,
take
I've got
it
quarters for him. He needs them.
We'll take a break. We'll come back.
I'm
we'll
angry.
Take your phone calls at 339-1140.
Chipotle Burrito Bowl.
1-800-920-1140. It's a break. On the Drive Sports
You're
1140.
Still going.
KHDK.
Dipping in the black slow. Three in the back. Two if you fat. Pimping is a fat. Fresh up out the street. Hop, jump to the top. I'll be French Montana from the block. Went so low now.
solo on the app.
I do love this job, and as much as people can be frustrating on the text, and we're all a happy dysfunctional family. The guy wants to fight. I'm making up now. I'm not going to say where he works because I think they might be an advertiser, honestly. But he does.
Was I close?
What did you say?
Close in proximity, but not close.
No, he works at a car rental place.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm.
I've been in there before.
Have you?
Yeah, multiple times to rent a car.
I may or may not be getting a discount on if I want to rent a convertible or something.
Oh, guess what? I have like a free gas coupon. I have a.
No, they're not. I'll eliminate that one.
I have a free gas coupon from them. That
you do?
Can use. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there might have been a mix-up on a rental, so I got a couple little free throw-ins. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
I was going to say, we know Katie won't be getting a free rental from that place coming
up. You know what? I'm okay with that. I got mad.
Katie went off, man.
I got mad.
You just got to laugh. Come on.
Okay.
Well, we had to get a promo for this week. Like, I did the one last week.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And you guys, I think, had the one prior to that. So we just had to get our angry sports radio out.
Speaking of promo from the 510, thank you, Bay Area, the snippet with Nate going crazy about taking someone to the ground. I don't know if we have that on deck or not.
Marshawn Lynch.
They're saying, what was he referring to? Please advise.
It was Marshawn.
That was Marshawn Lynch.
Guy drove me crazy.
You were saying, hey, why tackle him?
Drove you crazy in like a great way.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so good. Think about some of those guys with those, Patrick Willis, Aldon Smith, Justin Smith, Navarro Bowman. Those are like four great defensive players at the peak of their powers. And they just, the guy wouldn't stop running. His legs didn't stop moving. He finished on his face every time. Just man.
Here's what the gentleman or lady on the text line was talking about.
Why can't you just tackle the guy? Why can't you just tackle him? You got your arms around him. You got three guys with your arms around. Take him to the ground. Take him to the ground. What's he weigh? 240, 250 pounds,
he's
Dave?
Yes.
You got three dudes on him. Take him down. Wrap him up. Take him to the ground. But you can't do it. It would just drive me crazy. Why does he keep going? Why doesn't he just go to the ground?
Does anyone have
the answer to that? Man.
Idiot that guy is.
You know, that was like a distant cousin of the why don't you go to your home rant from Happy Gilmore. When you think about the tone, just go to your home. In the hole. From the text line, one more thing. The NBA gives us bad games to appreciate the good ones, just like we date.
That's all sports.
Just like we date jerks to appreciate the good guys. Oh. That's from your roommate, by the way. She didn't sign it.
She didn't sign it.
But I noticed it, and I looked at the area code, and I went, that's Desi.
Oh, that's Desi. Good morning, Despina.
Hey there, good morning.
So do I got to be a jerk, or am I supposed to be a nice guy?
She's, Okay. Oh, no, be a jerk.
Okay.
No, be a jerk.
Be you.
Hey, hold on. Can we go with choose your own adventure. What would the nice guy response have been?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's really thinking. He's searching for it right now.
That's okay, baby. What's wrong?
Come here. I'll hold
you. What was the jerk response?
Oh, God. I don't know. What did she say again?
She said that.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. That's the jerk response. Yeah.
The NBA gives us bad games just like we date bad men to help appreciate the good
ones.
It's
Thursday, Cal.
It is. And is that the mean response? Jeez.
It's Thursday, Cal. We haven't gotten a Cal fact in.
Give us a Cal fact.
I mean, listen, we know she's putting in the extra mile to find the good guy. That's all.
There you go. See, that's fine.
Anything. I think I kind of straddled the fence there a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's a dating
game coming.
She would
appreciate that.
What, straddling the fence?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your cow fact?
Okay, so my cow fact.
How far apart are the pickets?
You're really considering this.
What
right
are the
now.
Cow facts?
So when cows digest food, fermentation results in large amounts of methane. Mm-hmm. Cattle produce 250 to 500 liters, and by some account, up to 1,000 liters of gas per day.
Farts.
What?
Farts.
Farts.
Which is like basically, I'm pretty sure that I work with two heifers.
Okay.
Wow.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hi, Jerry. Save us, please.
Hey, good morning, guys. Haven't talked in a while. Loving the show.
Thanks.
You guys have been posing a bunch of questions on a number of different things, and I'm going to kind of answer them as best as I can.
The floor is yours, Jerry.
All right. Why does anybody do anything? Why do companies or whomever do whatever they can? It's because they can. Which leads me to a bigger question. Why are there in newspapers clear across the country, in every newspaper, betting lines, when there's only two states in the country that allow gambling? Mm. That's your answer to everything.
Also, the injury, Jerry, to your point, the injury reports, too.
Yeah, to your
the injury report, the injury reports in every paper. I mean, that's geared obviously
the
towards
NFL
betting as well.
Specifically, they have very strict rules.
No, Jerry, no, I agree. We're agreeing with you. I'm saying to your point, that's also a big reason why you see the injury reports published as well, as it's geared towards betting. We're agreeing with you.
All right, guys, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to take that and say, yes, there's a conspiracy because of it.
Oh, because we're, the best?
No, someone had to conspire to make that happen. The fixing games thing, sure. You know, just because it does all come back to gambling. Now, there is a shady element specifically with the NFL that they try to ignore the elephant in the room, which is that their revenue is generated on the backs of gambling and fantasy football.
Right.
That's why they have such draconian rules when it comes to their injury reports, is because they got to have the right information for the betting lines. I mean, there's no hiding that.
Sure.
The sketchy part is that the NFL tries to, I guess, ignore that. But I don't. That doesn't, to me, say, hey, the games are fixed.
I think the NFL understands, and smartly, that fantasy football and gambling make that league as much as anything else.
I think it was like a day or two ago, I was reading something about this, and it was saying that between the NFL and college football alone, $98 billion a year are betted on the sport. And I'm trying to...
It's an amateur sport, though, college,
yes.
College football.
Yeah.
It's amateurs.
I'm trying to find the article. I saved it, but I'm pretty sure it was $98 billion.
We're going to talk NFL next. There's a bunch of little stories that all make one big giant story. And we haven't updated anyone on the NFL at all. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us again. We talked to him about a month ago. We're going to get an NBA update from him at the top of the hour. And this text, which is my nominee so far for text of the day, I am absolutely amazed and applaud Aisha Christensen for sticking up for her husband, Carmichael Dave. That's great work. We'll take a break. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, girl. You know what you've been missing?
Hey, girl. It's 7:38. Time to save at Hot Tub Supercenter. Call 315-TUBS or visit jacuzziofsacramento.com. From the text line here real quick, we're going to get to football. With the draft getting close, talking about the NBA draft, do you guys think the Kings will keep the eighth pick, package the eighth and a player for a trade, or trade the eighth for two later picks? Lots of questions there. My response would be, and I'm so happy to say this, I have no idea.
Yeah. I love when I get these questions as well, because I'm like, I have no idea what they're going to do. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, when people ask me stuff like that, I'm just like, dude, I have no idea.
I don't want to discourage
them. No one knows. Anyone that says that they do, they're full of it.
And I don't want to discourage the texter from the question. We're not making fun of you. The point.
No, I was making fun of you two guys.
My
because you know everything.
You guys both gave the same answer, so I just figured I'd give the same thing. When people ask me these questions, I'm just like, I don't know. I have no idea.
The comment I'm making, at least, is that I'm happy I don't know. I love it. They're so locked down over there. Finally, there's no leaks. Other than the uniforms.
Well, guess what? There was also a leak right before the All-Star break that George Karl was going to be fired.
Right.
That didn't happen either. It doesn't matter what leaks coming out of there. You don't know what's going to happen until it actually happens. Newsflash. It's one of those things where there's probably a ton of possibilities, and they probably have a bunch of different scenarios kind of in the queue of what could happen. But you don't know if the last minute someone's going to bring you an offer or an option that you absolutely cannot turn down. I can't predict the future when it comes to sports and who they're going to draft and if they're going to trade and who they're going to go for in free agency. There is no way to know that with any certainty or truth behind it.
I love that they're locked down. I love it. That's fine. If, as a media member, maybe it makes the job a little more difficult or you get less leaks. But good, fine, great, because Kings fan first. And
there's nothing to talk about right now anyway, guys. There's nothing to leak. There's nothing going on.
I would disagree with you in this sense. I'll bet you there are things to talk about. Like, for example, if you and I had a mole or a speaker, a recorder in Vlade Divac's cell phone, I'll bet you there's a few things that are going on right now that would be major news, and I don't know what they are. My point is that in years past, we've almost had that microphone. It was called Pete D'Alessandro, and it made for some great radio shows, like when he came down here. That was great for us. That was horrible for the franchise and horrible for him. I'm fine with not knowing. I'd rather go back to the Petrie days, the Jeff Petrie days of we don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, for all we know right now, they're this close to trading Ben McLemore. And now people are going to write them this close. No, just saying, we don't know. Here's something else we do know, Nathan. Ben Simmons has said that, according to Brian Colangelo, that he's not going to work out for anyone.
Oh.
At all.
Shocker.
He's not working out for any teams. And
guess what? Nobody that is a top draft pick anymore, like projected 1, 2, 3, maybe even through 5, no one works out for teams anymore because it's all controlled by the agents.
Yeah.
And when they do work out for a team, guess what happens? It's just them. It's not somebody from UC Davis or Vanderbilt. Like, it's not one of these workouts where you have a bunch of guys in, because guess what? What if someone that's not even on the radar makes this number one projected draft pick look bad? Agents don't want that.
Yeah. E.G. Anleon, remember his workouts with the chair? Then he got made fun of. I don't know if he fell because of that. Yes, but he got made fun of quite a bit. From the 916, I'm hearing, as we all are, that Jimmy Butler is available in a trade. With our glaring hole at shooting guard, why aren't the Kings one of the teams pursuing his talents?
Guess what?
That's to say they're not.
They very well might be.
Exactly.
But you've also heard things about, like, you know, the Celtics offering the number 3 pick.
Yeah.
The T-Wolves offering the 5 pick
and
wanting to get Andrew Wiggins in return for Chicago.
There you go.
My question would be, if you're the Bulls, what the hell are you trading Jimmy Butler for?
Well, here's the question.
Because he did not get along with the coach last year. He called him out multiple times, and he has a really great relationship with Tom Thibodeau.
That's fine, but he's also your best player.
Exactly.
He's also your most reasonably priced asset. Like, it just, to me, I guess my point is, what I'm seeing here is, yeah, I'm sure the T-Wolves would love to be able to get Jimmy Butler for the 5 pick. And yeah, I'm sure the Celtics would love to have Jimmy Butler. That's not coming from Chicago to me.
29 other teams would like to have Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm. I think they could get him for the 5 in Wiggins.
Easily.
Bulls would pull the trigger on that.
Why wouldn't they? The T-Wolves would be stupid to do that.
Of course they would. And here's my response would be, not just to the texter, but I've seen it written elsewhere. And I understand why Kings fans are talking about this. Can you come up with a trade the Kings could make that didn't involve DeMarcus Cousins that would get Jimmy Butler?
No.
I can't either. Who's
expiring in the upcoming offseason? Because if the Bulls are going to unload Jimmy Butler, rebuild mode.
Rudy,
right?
Willie Cauley-Stein, and the number 8. Do you think the Bulls do it? Because that's the best I can do.
Probably.
Do you think so?
Probably.
I don't think they do.
You get Rudy's expiring contract.
Sure.
You get a number 8
there
pick,
you go,
and then you get a young big man.
You get the young big man. You get the 8. But
it's position. Who's behind Jimmy Butler in Chicago? Who do they have that they can play that plays behind him? So if you're giving a team pieces that are not filling the actual position, then that just means that there's a bunch more movement that has to be made.
Maybe they go out and they get somebody that they want. Maybe they decide that they don't want Etwan Moore starting at the 2.
Maybe they take the 8 pick and draft Buddy Hield.
There you go. But my response, Nate, would be, and I don't know, maybe you're right, but you get Willie Cauley-Stein, who I don't want to say we all love him. But I think maybe league-wide, he's kind of a question mark. Like, you don't know how good he's going to be. Rudy is expiring, but the value of his expiring $11, $12 million contract now is not – salaries are so high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that value
has – that big of a help.
Right. And then you've got the number 8 pick in a draft that people are saying is a two-man draft. And you have an all-star, a young all-star in Jimmy Butler. I don't know. I hear more. I'll tell you this much. I think it's more likely the Kings get Derrick Rose than Jimmy Butler. there's all kinds of talk out there about that as to whether or not there was an article the other day narrowing down teams. They narrowed down 3 teams in the NBA, the Kings and Knicks being 2 of them, that could possibly make sense and pull off a Derrick Rose move and his contract and absorb that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want that or not, but.
There's a reason that they would be shopping him.
I can't. Just because, why not?
The only reason I could figure out that they'd be shopping Jimmy Butler is because he's not happy there with the situation. And he wasn't. He wasn't happy. He called out his coach multiple times this year during the season. So I think there's a little bit of a rift there, but is it something that can be repaired? Did they have a sit down and have a nice dinner together? Did they go play golf together, go to the range?
Who?
Jimmy Butler.
Oh, probably
and the
not.
Mayor.
I don't think
and
so.
The mayor.
There are no post photos.
Yeah.
The golf thing wasn't post with
no,
Cousins
oh,
and Jaeger.
Wasn't
yeah, no,
that.
I know you weren't.
Oh, but no, look at you. You're
that was
so
for real.
Cute.
That was cute. I got it. I'm going to get a t-shirt of that. Everyone's playing golf.
On a coffee mug.
Oh, that's not the one I wanted.
You just...
On a coffee mug?
Mm-hmm. There's the photo.
A coffee mug with them playing. Mm-hmm. All right, that means football.
That sounds a little more NFL-y.
Yeah, I think the other one was, what, the CBS NBA thing? That's not NFL-y. Nate, lead us off since you've been gone. We're going to go around the league. We have a few stories here because, hey, nothing says June like football, and football is a year-round sport.
That's right. Baltimore Ravens in the news, guys. As we all recall, the Ravens have a reputation for going to great lengths to defend some of their players, even in the face of ridiculous adversity.
Yeah.
Well, there's one guy that they're not going to be stepping in front of, and that's former Ravens offensive tackle Eugene Monroe. He was released from the squad on Wednesday. Normally not noteworthy. I mean, you got an offensive lineman. It's that time of year. Guys get cut, right? Well, Monroe had surgery last year in the offseason to repair a torn labrum in his shoulder.
Sure.
He used that time off to become the first active NFL player to openly campaign for the use of medical marijuana.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
The Ravens did not rally behind that cause. This, according to the team's official website.
No.
Don't you have to be the Seahawks or the Broncos to get behind that?
I think
Broncos.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, get him a Chargers, maybe. Bring him California involved.
Vegas.
No, I mean, those are the only two states right now that an NFL now, team is in where medical marijuana or marijuana use, period, is
legal. But I don't think that supersedes the NFL rule is the
yes,
problem.
Yes, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a difficulty with that.
Katie? John Harbaugh said during the spring,
yes.
quote, I promise you, he does not speak for the organization.
I promise you.
Okay. Let's focus on that.
But it's okay, though, because Ray Rice was fine until the video came out. Until everyone saw the video.
Talking about, yes, Ray Rice.
The Ravens stood in front of him till the very end.
They sure did. Any of the Rays. Any of the Rays with them.
Why the Baltimore Ravens, of all the franchises, would choose to die on this hill?
That's where they're making their stand, buddy.
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Weed.
And it just happens to be about 40 years in the past.
Oh, to be fair, they released Ray Rice. Hey, it's not all bad.
I'm still waiting for that TMZ video of Eugene Monroe getting high. Smoking gun, guys.
Aisha Christensen, what do you got?
Okay, well, we all know Nate Robinson has had a long career and successful, I would say, in the NBA, 11 seasons in the NBA. But he's trying to make a transition at 32 to the NFL. Hometown boy.
Wait, what?
We've heard the story. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You've heard the story that he was trying out for the Seahawks. And unfortunately, according to Pete Carroll, he thinks that it's all but impossible for him to be able to make the team. So I didn't realize this, that Nate got a scholarship to play college for football, and he decided to transition into basketball, which is amazing in and of itself. I'm in awe of players that can play at a high level, play two sports. But so there's no telling what poor little Nate at 5'9" is going to do now. But apparently, according to Pete Carroll, they will keep the conversation open for a later time, maybe down the road when he's 35. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Does anyone want to just sit Nate Robinson down and be like, bro, you're 32. This is professional football. Don't do this.
So, but yeah. Here's the thing.
He's been told his whole life he can't do it, Nate.
Yes.
Hey, man, this is a really bad idea, you know.
Do we know what position he was going out
cornerback.
For?
Cornerback. Yeah.
So, like, literally the toughest position. When it comes to athleticism and skill.
Sure.
He's quick. He's athletic.
Since when could Nate guard anyone?
But he's he's 32. So here's the thing, and this is what Pete Carroll's talking about. And I understand this from a former athlete perspective. When your career is over, it's really hard to wrap your mind around what comes next. And so I think he's at that point after 11 seasons in the NBA.
He's still an athlete, but he's not an athlete.
But he's not. Right. Like his career is transitioning into what's next. And so apparently in his mind, what's next is the NFL, which makes complete sense for me. Absolutely. But so, you know, this is Pete Carroll. He's saying he's trying to figure out what he's going to do next, whether he's going to be in the NBA or overseas playing or whatever. And so football's an option that he wants to investigate. He's a great kid. I really like him. I've known him for a long time. I think it's nearly impossible for him to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't see that happen.
The average age of an NFL player is approximately 27 years old.
Yeah.
Really?
32 is not the time to start a career, guys. Otherwise, though, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I could probably get back into football shape in about 2 years if y'all want to find me a tryout somewhere.
You want some break?
How old was Jared Haynes when he came from the Aussie League?
Oh, good question.
Late 20s,
I think. Late 20s, I want to say.
I can look.
You want a little bit of breaking news?
Yeah.
Always.
Well, that's too low. Here, let me get that up here. There we go.
Bingo.
From Euro 2016,
oh,
Wales went up 1-0. England tied it up at 1 with the Vardy goal. Daniel Sturridge from Liverpool in the 92nd minute injury time puts England ahead, most likely for good, as England takes a 2-1 lead, thwarting Wales' opportunity to out-and-out beat them. And it is an absolutely depressed Wales ball club. Katie, your thoughts?
Oh, she's got nothing. Prior to this, in Wales opener of the tournament, Dave, Gareth Bale scored a free kick goal.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time that Wales had scored in a major tournament in like 50 years.
That's beautiful.
So like the fact that they're even there is pretty amazing. The fact that they got a goal against England is pretty nuts. Sucks that they're going to lose.
Here's my thing. And
How is this not riveting to you?
I appreciate soccer. There's one thing that I cannot get past in soccer. And please, Nate, explain this to me.
No! What? He just missed the post by like a foot.
Oh, Gareth Bale.
Nate, I'm sorry.
My eyes are right here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
My eyes are here.
My eyes are here, Nate.
Look at that. Sorry.
So, this is the stupidest thing, and I have no problem admitting it. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that you have soccer coaches that wear suits and ties.
And some of them
like,
wear track suits.
You've got the NFL that you've got them out there. And
well,
back in the day,
ties.
Yeah, but that's like indoor or whatever. Back in the day, NFL coaches used to wear, you know, the fedoras
and
the suits and everything.
Yes, and you know why you don't see that?
Why did that change?
Because it didn't work
for
Mike Nolan.
And why is soccer not caught on?
Because whoever it is on any given year, I think it's Nike now, it used to be Reebok, Adidas, whoever it is that's paying for the NFL's apparel, they pay a lot of money to put the coaches in that crap.
So and you're trying to tell me that the men's warehouse doesn't want to ante up?
Well, but no, listen, because a couple of years ago when Mike Nolan was the coach of the 49ers, he wanted to wear a suit on the sidelines because his dad wore a suit when he coached the 49ers. The league had a whole big problem with it because Reebok was the official apparel provider. They only allowed him to wear a suit for 2 games a year, and it had to be a Reebok suit.
A Reebok suit.
They had a Reebok design
and
him a suit.
Logo.
Yep.
True story.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Monster.
So that's why.
That's why. But honestly, Katie, do we really want to see NBA coaches in jerseys? Do we want to see
tank tops?
It was a legit question. I don't understand it. Were they like the only outdoor professional sport right now where you see a coach that is in a freaking suit?
Yeah, I look sharp, man.
So the question is, do you want to see
the game ain't tight?
Do you want to see the
it
coaches
right.
in baseball and football and in soccer? Do you want to see them in actual coach gear, or do you want to see everybody else put uniforms on?
I mean, and to be fair, they're not
all. Put khakis and a polo on, Dave.
No, they're not all in suits. I mean, you get like the dudes for the German
Belichick.
Well, no, like
this is how much I watch soccer.
Thomas Tuchel and Jurgen Klopp, like those guys will wear sweatsuits on the sidelines.
True.
No one should ever wear a sweatsuit, by the way.
Stop.
That is not what I'm saying.
Dude, that's a good tracksuit we're talking about.
I am the tracksuit. No.
I wouldn't mind seeing Belichick in a suit.
I wear my tracksuit like 3 days a week, man.
You do not. You're wearing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle socks right
now,
Nate.
Let's do Tracksuit Tuesday.
Tracksuit Tuesday?
I got a tracksuit.
County.
Black and white like old Al Davis, and I got a Manchester United tracksuit.
The only thing that I have that it all resembles a tracksuit is my old WNBA, like, things that they
have. Your warm-ups?
Like, no, they're not warm-ups. They're like the gear that you get at the beginning of the season.
There you go.
Which is, by the way, like the same size pants that the NBA players are getting. So they're like 6 inches too long on the bottom, and they're like 6 inches too short for the NBA players, right? That's where you see all their socks. And and then it's like the zip-up hoodie that goes down to almost my knees. That's the closest thing to a tracksuit that I own.
Your King's China stuff, isn't that kind of tracksuit-y?
Oh, you don't even know what a tracksuit is.
It's with a zipper and then the thing with the buttons. What's a tracksuit?
Is there something more specific here?
A tracksuit, doesn't a tracksuit have like the zippers on the ankles of the pants? I'm thinking like 80s
tracksuits. I don't know specifically, but I know what you're talking about. I think that, you got velour and
yeah,
stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, velour, and it's got all the different like crazy colors on it.
I think there's a broad there's definition.
I think it has to have a reflector on it for it to be a tracksuit, correct?
What? You're getting tracksuit rules now? Check in Wikipedia.
It happens if
Dave,
you,
do you
yeah,
have
Google
an NFL
what
story
defines
today?
A tracksuit.
Oh, we got a break.
Well, good
I
for
think
you.
We got to
Thanks
two.
A lot, Christensen.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, God. Hey, you're the one that went off on soccer. It's not my fault.
Tracksuit is an article of clothing consisting of two parts, trousers and a jacket, usually with a rear zipper.
See?
That's it. That's
a rear zipper?
A rear zipper.
Huh?
What's a rear zipper?
I don't know. It's just what it says on the Wikipedia.
Well, Wikipedia is
I've never seen that.
Playing you right now.
Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming. Tracksuits or no, October 22nd, 23rd at Discovery Park featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Had Korn for the fourth consecutive night last night from Slough House. Thank you. Tickets on sale now.
That tells me something I don't need to know about you.
For
though.
More info, never mind. Aftershock
Ooh.
Concerts.
Ooh.
I know. Ew.
Asterix.com.
All right, we'll take a break. Hey, G Golly, when we
Special
come back.
Special on butter at Whole Foods.
Brian Geltzeiler will join us, NBA insider and analyst for NBA Radio. We'll talk about tonight's Game 6 in the Klee. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.